None of these are select schools. None of these are schools in neighborhoods with all kinds of assets, but are regular schools that other principals can go visit. And what I'm hoping is that the principals go visit, and if they feel it fits their needs, that then they'll send their APs, they'll send teachers. But what I really want to see is I don't want to see one-shot visits. The principal goes, they learn what they want to do, and then they send people back and send more people back. And then maybe some of the things they really like in those schools, the people who perfected them can go back and work in the other school.
As you know, though, every school is different. Some have really high proportions of students who are still learning English. Some have homeless students. Right. Some have lots and lots of special education students. Or will some schools have a harder time than others in adapting best practices because their students are very high needs and have lots of special circumstances?
I will not accept a principal saying to me, this is the reason why I can't do the work. I want to say that, look, she had a school that needed a lot of changes. You go visit her. What I'm also hoping is that we raise the enthusiasm. We're trying to change the culture from a gotcha culture to, oh my God, I can get anything done. You know, if I'm trying in my first week already to get everything done in 1 week, you know, in terms of raising the bar on some things, I think principals with inspiration and help from other people can do some of that. But let's say I go to a school and I find that is exactly what you say, then my job is to figure out how to change that. So I had gone to a school where the principal said to me, you know, I really need to have at least a little percentage less of special needs kids. Not because I don't like them, but I think I can only be successful if I have 17% versus 25%. Well, then it's my job to come back to the DOE and say, well, how do we do that?
I want to ask you to zoom out for a minute. Even though you left the DOE in 2006, I know you continued to visit many schools through your consulting with Teachers College. So how would you assess the state of the city schools? How are they doing overall?
Obviously, the ones I visited have a very clear message, so I think they were doing a lot better work in literacy. I did visit other schools under other umbrellas, and I think that the thing that really surprised me is how many principals didn't feel they got clear direction, in the sense that if you have a struggling school, I'm thinking of one in particular I had visited in Bed-Stuy, you know, where do you turn for support? You know, there's so much nebulous stuff out there that I really want to be able to say, someone like Esther Friedman, you know, if that's what...
Literacy expert,
but also literacy expert with an eye on struggling kids. So if I know that there's a program like Wilson, for example...
A reading program.
Reading program, thank you. Then why don't they know? I mean, I have gone to so many schools where principal says, well, what is that exactly? That shouldn't be secret. So I just think it's making our work more explicit, more focused, and giving people information. The principals are still going to decide what they do with it, but I don't think they've had explicit information, particularly in curriculum work.
Could you see yourself keeping some of the senior staff, the top deputies and others who worked with Mayor Bloomberg, or are there ideological differences now that you're trying to send a different message?
I think good teaching is good teaching, and most people come to the system with good hearts, and I think as long as the paradigm shift is clear and evident and people are willing to work under a paradigm shift, I don't have a problem with keeping people. Not everybody may be doing the same jobs they're doing now, because we're really going to shift some of the work to be more school-specific. But, you know, I'm still having conversations with everybody.
And as you shift gears, one of the things that Mayor de Blasio has talked so much about is putting less focus on test scores. How do you see that happening? Where can we expect to see the changes?
Well, as an example, I'm going to schools that don't necessarily, and I don't even know what is this school?
It's got an A.
It's got an A, okay, but it had a B 2 years ago. I'm not looking at the report cards as a way to choose things. I'm looking, what is the strength? It may not be strong in everything, but what is the one strength in that school that other people can build on? So that's going to be my thing.
How else can you diminish the role of test scores? Some of it's dictated by state law. The
new
teacher evaluation system, for example, 20% is based on student performance on state exams.
Right.
Is there any wiggle room for you with the observations that principals make? By the way, principals are saying they're overwhelmed with those teacher evaluations. It's a lot of paperwork. What changes can you make?
I haven't gotten to the stage of looking at this stuff deeply, but I will tell you that the paperwork issue I've heard everywhere, and I certainly heard it in the last few years. But I do think principals visiting classrooms is crucial, and I think in a lot of cases that wasn't being done.
You're talking about teachers and instruction. I know you don't want to negotiate in public. The teacher's contract is up for renewal. But what can you say about how you're going to approach the union, and do you support the concept of merit raises? Governor Cuomo floated a $20,000 bonus for top-rated teachers.
I mean, right now, I'm going to have breakfast with Mulgrew for the first time. I don't know him at all. I had a good work.
You don't know the president of the teachers union?
I haven't been part of the system in a while. So we're going to have breakfast and talk. And, you know, look, 22 years as a teacher, that's my credential to this. I'm not negotiating that the mayor will do that. But the reality is, I certainly understand that there are things that we can do better. And I certainly also understand there are things that they can do better. So how do we negotiate that? That's for another time.
This mayor has put so much distance between himself and Mayor Bloomberg on education policy. So I'm wondering, you were deputy chancellor for a few years during the Bloomberg era. Can you name three things you thought were positive changes?
Oh, absolutely. And there's probably a lot more than three, but the one that really stands out to me is that there was certainly a time when if a principal left, there was a principal vacancy, whether illness, frustration, whatever, we'd have maybe three interim acting people before we got a full person. And I don't think that happens almost anywhere right now. If you have a vacancy, you fill it in, and there's a leader in the building. And that stability is really, really important. So I think that's a really, that's not a small thing. That's a big thing. The other thing that I really feel is much more improved, I see, because again, I visit a lot of buildings, I see facilities that are actually cleaner. They're painted. I went to a school that I taught in that used to have, literally on my head, the ceiling was coming in because there was water coming in through the, you know, and now it's painted a bright yellow. So I think, and I don't think that's a small thing. I think that you respect kids by having buildings that look good and pleasant and nice to come to. So I think that's a, you know, really not another thing. As far as another big thing, I think the use of data, I think it may not be used in all the ways I'd like to see it used, but certainly as a principal, and I'm going back many years on this one, I had a data expert in residence, Dr. Eileen Marzola. And anytime we took any kind of assessment, she and I, behind closed door, we'd spend hours disaggregating stuff and trying to figure, not only disaggregating stuff, but trying to figure out, you know, which teacher on the same grade had better scores than this and that and whatever. And then trying to figure out what was it about that teacher. So when I promoted kids from year to year, what I did is try to match. If a kid had a very low math scores, Eileen and I would make sure that he got one of the better math teachers. But we had to do that from scratch, and it took us hours and hours. You now have a system where you could do it, you know, just by sitting in front of your computer and figuring out. So I think that's really good. I think we might have abused it a little bit in terms of holding all other things tied into it that might not have been meant to do. But I think that's really a good thing.
This school system's budget is more than $20 billion, and the city spends almost $20,000 per student. Do you see any places for savings?
I'm looking at that, and I'm sure there are. Off the top of my head, I would say the one place we're going to look at, and again, this is my first week as of today, I don't think we need to do so much outsourcing of stuff, because we have a lot of very smart people here. So a lot of the consulting contracts that are very, very expensive.
For what types of items?
I think particularly for professional development, we could probably do better in-house.
What would you want to do with the savings? Would you lower class sizes or hire more teachers?
You know, like I said, Beth, I have to go back and look at some of the stuff. I think that one of the surprises that I kind of got recently is how fewer teachers we now have in early childhood grades. And I'm going to look at that. I don't know whether it's just specific schools. I mean, I haven't looked at all the numbers, although
those
I take them all
the class sizes went up in the early grades.
And that's something certainly worth looking at. So, again, once I start looking, I've been taking home little different reports. I've been meeting with everyone at Tweed for at least an hour. I've asked them all to give me back one-pagers after we meet about the things we talk about, so because I can't read 40-page reports and get make any sense of them. And everybody has been asked to highlight, you know, how does their department interact with middle schools, and where are there places where we could be looking at things that might save money to do other things with. Everything has to impact on the classroom. And if it doesn't impact on the classroom, we have to make it a low priority in terms of how we spend our money. So the focus is, you know, what happens in the classroom. And I think that's a little different than what's happened in the past. You know, I'm not looking to make anybody famous and bring them on. You know, there's another way to do this work.
What do you mean about the previous administration?
I'm just saying that a lot of the stuff that was done was structurally, whereas I think the most important thing to do is what happens in the classroom. The best teacher in the classroom with kids who have the support they need, that's what's going to move a system. You know, the structures all around and constantly shifting them is not going to move anything but anxiety.
What are your opinions about charter schools? Do you think the city has too many of them, the right amount, too few? There's almost 200 now.
There's good schools and bad schools in every category. There are good private schools. There are some that are not so good. I find that a charter school, for my, you know, litmus test, has to be one that follows the rules. So you have a lottery. You accept X number of kids. Your obligation is to graduate the same kids that you accepted by lottery. It's not about throwing out the kids that don't fit your mold. It's not about throwing out the kids that are not going to do well on the test. It's not about excluding special needs kids or English language learning kids.
Do you think that's happened?
Absolutely. I work with some charter schools that I think are phenomenal and very unusual. The other original idea for a charter school was that they were supposed to do innovative things that then we could, public schools could learn from. I haven't seen that part of the charter world doing as much on that as they could. I mean, I'm not making a blanket statement, good or bad, because I don't think that's I don't say all public schools are good. I think we need to look at them individually. But if they add value to our system, if they teach us something new, if they, you know, are successful with all kids, then I think they could be valuable. I just don't think that all of them are following those rules. And I don't believe that the only way to teach minority kids is by rote memorization.
You think there's too much?
In some, not all, but, you know, the philosophy in some of the schools is, you know, you memorize and you do 3 hours a day of test prep and then you take the tests. And, you know, to me, the best schools teach kids to think. If kids have done well on tests, and let's talk about high school, it doesn't always translate to success in college because they can't think when they get there. So I think that's part of it. Like I said, I would never make a blanket statement because there are very few absolutes in the world of education.
So then what do you think of the mayor's plan to charge rent to some charters?
I have to think that's on the mayor's agenda.
Let me ask you this. What do you say to parents who are worried that their charters may close if they can't afford to pay rent?
I'm not going to get into the political quagmire, but I think that a lot of people who make a lot of money on this, then if there's money for some things, there's got to be money for rent as well. I don't know. I think right now we need space for our own kids. We're going to have a large pre-K initiative. Where are we going to put some of those kids? So I think there's, you know, I think our system for the first time in many years is overly utilized, but I think that's only the mayor's agenda.
Parents are hoping that you are going to take a different approach with them by listening more, as you said. And I'm wondering, since the mayor has said that he wants to put a moratorium on co-locating schools, having schools share the same building for a year, parents felt like they were not consulted when the city would open so many new schools and put them in the same buildings or close schools that the parents wanted to keep open. Will you give parents a greater say in decisions, or will it continue to be advisory?
You know, I haven't gotten to the point deciding what it's going to be, but we are certainly going to listen more. Because the truth of the matter is that co-location, when done with consultation and things that make sense, for example, I'm not sure it makes sense to have two elementary schools in the same building. But I think it makes a lot of sense to have an elementary school and a middle school if it becomes the feeder school. If you have a school in your building that's sexy and new and whatever, with a good, why can't the kids who are presently in that building have priority for that other school? So I think there's lots of ways to make people smarter, a co-location. I also think, and I didn't realize it was such a high number, by adding 400 new schools since I was there, you're taking money away from other schools. I'm not sure that everyone understands that there's not an unlimited pot. So is it better to have less schools as long as they're good schools so that they have more money and they don't fail? So I think this is all partially a work in progress. Like I said,
are you suggesting you would close some where you see redundancies?
No, I think that everything has to be looked at. But it's going to be a process. It's not going to be we meet behind closed doors, make a decision, and tomorrow the gang goes there and says, you don't exist tomorrow. I don't think that's reasonable. And it also is not respectful to kids. I mean, if there are schools, and there might be some down the pike that you know are not good for kids, but then how do you make that decision with parents and then say to kids, all of you are going to have a place that's better than than where you are now. And I don't think there's been a lot of respect, to be honest, for different constituencies. And I think we can do a lot of that with those constituents to make this a much better process.